pool tool.
You have to talk about that, right?
I do, yes. We'll talk about that, yes.
Well, then, you can, even we can talk about.
Southwest Power?
Well, I can take that. You take the fun stuff. I gotta find the fun, but. Not a lot of fun, no. Lot of fun, taxes, budgets.
Here we go.
How about that Southwest Power? It's a great power pole.
It's 5:30, I'll call the meeting to order. First item is pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the southwest wall of the council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. The city council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number three is approval of the minutes, August 20th, 2024. Make a motion. We have a motion and I'll make no second, okay. Any discussion on the minutes? Roll call? And I'll vote yes. Item number four, the minutes are approved. Item number four is approval of the claims.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion on the claims? Roll call? I'll vote yes. And the claims are approved. Item number five is a public hearing. It is 2024 to 2025 budget. Advertised time is 5:30.
Okay, this is the public hearing for the budget. We are required to have three copies of the budget available. They're on the table there for the public. And then we have to go over the key provisions comparing this budget to the previous year's budget. The 2024 valuation, we've gone over a lot of this, but we still have to repeat it, came in at 362, 661, 606. That was an increase of 10.51 over last year. The operating budget last year was $53,585,42 and.
Should be 24.
Yep, sorry, the dates are wrong on that. 23, that should be 24. $58,231,544 with this budget. The tax asking last year was $1,175,500. Came out to a levy of 0.358201. With this budget, that amount goes to $1,225,694, and it brings the levy down to the 0.337972 with that increased valuation. So for your total levies, in 23 it was 0.417696. This budget, it will decrease to 0.393959. So that is city debt, airport debt, and CRA. So with the changes on that we discussed at the last meeting, the property tax ask does decrease by $20,011, and the adjustment to the reserves then decreases that same amount. So this is the required public hearing that we have. The next meeting, we'll have another public hearing to set the budget and to do the appropriations that we can actually spend the money and ask for the 1% increase in the base amount increase. And then that will be the last of budget meetings until next year.
This hearing is one that was, what, three, four years ago? This was required?
Right. And if we would have had to participate in the joint public hearing, we wouldn't have had this separate one. That would have replaced that for us.
It's the pink postcard hearing.
This was one of the new ones that was enacted that basically there can't be a time limit on it. Anyone that's here that wants to speak would be allowed to do so. You can limit the amount of time that they are given to speak, but you can't deny anyone.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing for the budget? It looks like nobody else. I will close the public hearing. Item number six is action on request for proposal for assistance with Southwest Power Pool market participant duties, the purchase of hourly energy to build energy portfolio and management of power plant generation resources. We have Dave Peterson with JEO Consulting Group.
Good afternoon, or evening, I guess. And I'm Dave Peterson. And we've put together a request for proposals to do three things. One is to, well, first, your contract for wholesale power is ending December 31st of 26. So we're going to go out to bid, and that provider will no longer take care of you and does not want to. They're from Arkansas. So we're going to go out for new proposals for a market participant, and then also to assist with your energy portfolio for how you use your energy, and then also management of your generation or capacity resources. So we're anticipating 30 days to request proposals. So we would open bids on October 4th. We would review those during the November and December, selecting the top three through a subcommittee or of some sort.
We'll figure that out.
And then do interviews with those. We'll invite them to your council, whether it's a separate one or normal. We'll have to figure that out also. But through the process of the next 3 months, we'll be selecting a new market participant, basically, for your city, and then managing your wholesale power in a different direction than what it is right now. That's the major part of it. We're looking for qualifications. We're anticipating approximately six different proposals for this, five to six probably, and we can select or pick from those. This is in conjunction. Northeast Power is also doing the same thing. They got the same letter that was, and also Wakefield.
Big Rivers gave us notice that they did not want to renew, or were not going to continue on with us. They beat us to the punchline. We were going to give notice to them, and they gave it to us first. So
is that because the rate that they gave us would have been 10 years ago, correct?
It was an 8-year term.
8 years. Mm-hmm. That they're not making as much money now on us?
Big Rivers was in a different situation. They were in some financial trouble back then, and so they were looking for different, they were told pretty much you have to go out and get diversify your portfolio, and so they found Nebraska as a potential. And so now they're in a much better financial shape, hopefully not just off of our backs, but they're in a better situation, so they don't they're in Kentucky. They don't want to come this way if they don't have to. They want to be in their service area. You'll have some people that are some companies that are going to reach out to us, and it's going to be likely going to be maybe a Florida company or a Kansas City company, or you're going to get some of that too. Big Rivers is small enough that they don't want to dabble, I don't think, in Nebraska anymore.
The other thing is that the current contract that you have was just to be a 10% less than MPPD, so they were still making money. So that's not really the reason. It's more the them wanting to stay back in their area of expertise. The Southwest Power Pool, which is your area of reliability, is outside of their jurisdiction. So they were having to work a little bit extra just to really to serve your needs.
And we've had some pricing complexities or challenges where we've had to cross the MISO into the SPP border, and so it's gotten messy at times. So we've mitigated all that, but it's...
Yeah, the market participants that we're anticipating that to provide proposals are all active in the CESPP market.
Even the Florida one I was talking about, they're still in SPP, they're just in multiple pools, I guess.
Right.
Are you anticipating some of the proposals that we get are very competitive rates that could potentially lower our electricity rate compared to where we're at right now?
Yes, we are anticipating that rate to be lower. The number one reason is you have your own capacity and generation, and that's the big expense right now. So your power plant is really doing you a good duty right now. The other thing is there are the differences between the bids. Some of them really only want the market participant side of it. Some of them want the energy side of it, and they'll also do the market participant. Some have a different interests that they want. Some of them actually want to sell you everything. So that's where we're going to leave it open to everybody to bid it and look at the advantages and disadvantages of each of them.
So,
and then kind of decide from there, you know, for cost and what is in your best interest.
So in the RFP that's going out, does that have a certain year range that we are looking for? Because, I mean, I remember the last one, at a company that wanted to do it for 30 years, and that was an absolute no, you know, which I think is kind of one of the reasons why we found this so attractive, where it being like 8 to 10 years, because how much the market changes.
That's another good question. There's a kind of a trial and error to see if you like them type of period. That's typically between 5 and 7 years. Just so that they work through all of their things and really get to understand you, and then you get to feel how well you like what they're doing and how, you know, what they're doing for you. If you don't like that, then you can switch. But it takes about that long. So that's actually my recommendation, is to go into a smaller or less time, just to make sure you like what you're doing or what they're doing for you, and to take that forward.
So with some of these RFPs that are coming in, do we have the ability to potentially negotiate? And what I mean by that is, because I think right now with Big Rivers, we have the ability to purchase 10%.
Renewable?
Yes, renewable. So if we get an RFP that comes back and they say the same thing, where 90% is going to be provided by us, but 10% renewable, is that something that we can negotiate with them and say, let's say we want 25% or 30%, or is that usually not an option?
No, that's totally your call, and you do get to negotiate that. Okay. You actually can negotiate that on an annual basis almost. South Sioux City, I help South Sioux City. They're currently 51% renewable right now. But we're anticipating a staged purchase of energy into the portfolio, and whether that is behind the meter generation or any type of renewable, or actually purchasing blocked energy from the open market based on cost. But we're looking to step that in so that your rates, basically your customers, is an average. So that should stabilize things and keep it more to a market base, but a good average, so it should stabilize it for you also. Good question though. Yeah, no, you're not tied directly to a certain percentage of renewable. You'll get to do what you want. You have more flexibility with this, for sure.
I do want to say one thing about rates though. when you, I don't want you to think that if we get a better rate than we're paying now, that's going to necessarily go back to the rate payer, because if you remember what we're putting in this new substation and potentially generation, that the cost savings is going to have to go back into those bonds, or to pay those bonds of new substation generation. So don't you think that Dave said, oh, we'll have cheaper rates. Well, we may be paying less for the energy and be getting more for the capacity, but yeah, we're still going to have to.
The other part of that is, depending on which option that you pick, there's a level of risk involved with where you're at in the market and the percentage that you purchase from the market on a daily basis. So in cases like that, if you want to take a little more risk, you can, and you have a chance of getting possibly a better rate, which we've seen previously, but you'll want to have a bigger reserve in standby in case something happens. In February of 2021 was catastrophic, and it was for your city as well. But those are the kind of things that you want to just be aware of and be prepared for, possibly, as you're going through this. And there's ways to protect yourself from that, and that's where that level of risk comes in. So we'll look at that. That's an option also to review. So.
And if we move forward with the generation side, likely have Dave do some type of a rate analysis for us, so we know what those rates would be and what we'd have for bond payments and that type of stuff coming in. But we're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. This is just to approve the RFP process so we can send it out and see what we get back. So we'll be seeing Dave much more than tonight.
And I'm happy to help you, by the way.
This is kind of fun to do this for me.
Fun.
Everybody.
It takes all types, Dave. It takes all types.
I'll move to approve the action on the request for a proposal for assistance with Southwest Power Pool Market participant duties with JEO Consulting Group.
Second.
Approval. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion on this action? Roll call. And I'll vote yes. And the action is approved.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
We'll be in contact.
Okay. See you all.
See you later.
Item number 7 is Resolution 2024-47, authorizing...
Luke, is that your stuff there? That's not his?
That was mine.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Authorizing chief elected official to sign an application for community development block grant funds. Public Works.
Okay, this is something we have already done, but as we were applying for the grant, we realized that, well, a couple things. The amount had changed, so we were able to request an additional $50,000. So that's a good thing. Bad thing is we found out that we are no longer an LMI at large community. Our LMI numbers went from 53.9 down to 40 point something. That's always in the arrears. So we found it out. But in, I believe, February of 24, we actually went down from 53 to 40. And that is based off of 2016 to 2020 data. So you're always in arrears by 5 years. It's insane that it takes that long to get those census data. So what that means is, and we'd only been the LMI community for 5 years. Prior to that, we were back to we only had one quadrant that didn't qualify, but the other three did. And so what we had to do with this grant, or what we're doing with this grant, is we're specifying to ADA accessible, sidewalks, shelter house, those types of things need to be ADA compliant, which they were going to be anyway. And also the clientele is 62 years of age and older to focus on that age group. What does that mean? It just means you have to put it in your grant application that, you know, senior citizens will be able to utilize the facilities. Again, a lot of that has to do with accessibility. So that kind of sum it up.
Yeah, the biggest change when we initially were going to apply for this, we were going to focus on the ball fields. So with this change, like Wes said, it's going to be the ADA accessibility, the paving, things like that.
And we were kind of a blanket grant, but we already have one of those applied for with DED. And so DED knows you've got two applications out here, so we have to specify this and not quote double dip into the other grant. So that's why we're having to, it's a little more complicated this way, but if we want to apply for it, we have to jump through the hoops that we need to. So I would definitely recommend you approving the resolution. And like I said, it's upping it by $50,000, the potential of $50,000. And then we're really removing that LMI part and making it more of the ADA and the senior citizen clientele.
Just a question, as far as camper pad paving, what's projected as number of sites?
Two.
And is it required that they are paved?
They have to be, are we writing it with concrete or are we saying ADA accessible? I mean, it has to be ADA accessible. The thought right now is to pave two spots right by the right across from the parking lot and the shower house, bath house. Do you prefer them not to be paved and something? They have to be accessible. That's the.
Yeah, I kind of researched it and it doesn't sound like you need it to be paved. The other thing we're probably going to have to look forward to in, you know, rules, regulations, whatever. What if those spots are unclaimed? You know, at a certain point, the whole campground's full, and those are open. Are they? No one else can under those circumstances. So
yeah, I'm saying you'd open those up then.
You can open those up.
Absolutely. You don't have. You mean so for this grant, it's if it was a federal grant, directly with feds, then you may have to do something like that.
Yeah.
But with the state pass through CDBG, I don't think you have to do that. I don't. We haven't had to do that with anything else. I'm trying to think of other grants we would have applied for with ADA ramps and stuff.
Here's what I'm thinking. People are going to go for the paved spots
for
anything else, regardless. I just don't know how we're going to control that necessarily and that, you know, if we didn't have to pave them, I'm all for, you know, obviously accessibility would be much better with paving and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you have the choice between the two,
you could possibly, I'm thinking even like pave a curb around it or something. You have to be able to get to, again, the lake and connecting it back to the trail. That's what we're trying to show.
Yeah.
Paving is the easiest way to do that, but you're right. They're going to, absolutely, if you're looking for 17 spots and two of them are paved, you're going to go to the paved ones.
Yeah. And that will alleviate, I mean, that alleviates accessibility for some. You know,
Joel,
yep. You're going to have to reserve them online. So that's part of it is you're going to already have your stall. So, you know, you show up and say, oh, it's paid. Well, you know, you've already gotten yours and it's not that one. That's the one that you're supposed to be at. And I think they could probably do something with computer software to show that that's the ADA stall. And then, but if everything else is full, then the program would, you know, allow that.
You might release it the day before or something like that. I don't know how that would work necessarily.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's going to be complicated because then you have someone in the ADA spot that wants to stay multiple nights. You know what I mean? It's just like we really have to shore that up because it's going to get messy.
Yep. And again, we have the grant hasn't been submitted yet, so we could do a little bit of digging on that too.
Right.
But it just I know it has to be accessible.
Yes.
And maybe you make four of them accessible. It's just a matter of how much do you want to spend on. If you could say no concrete and just make it crushed limestone or something that packs better, then maybe you could do multiple ones. We're trying to be creative with obtaining the grant funds. So we thought this was another. Lowell had said these are the parking spots we want ADA compliant. He was thinking about doing a couple of camper pads as well, and so that's where we went with that and said, well, we can concrete it, put the cost of that into the grant.
Yeah. I think two are sufficient, else they may go unused a lot.
Sure. Yeah, logistically it could be an issue. Yeah. But we can look at how we can write that. We can talk to the grant writers from the district and see if there's another way we could word it such that it doesn't have to be hard surface.
Sure.
questions on how we would rewrite the grant or that? Okay.
Did anybody, do we have a motion? I'll introduce resolution 2024-47 and move for approval.
Second.
Any more discussion on this resolution?
Do we have to have the amount or anything, Amy, you think?
We're not paying this, but you, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have it in there, but it's not a claim, so.
Okay.
The resolution will have that in there, I mean,
yeah.
That we have to submit to them.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion, questions? Roll call. And I'll vote yes, and the resolution has passed. Item number 8 is resolution 2024-48, approving memorandum of understanding regarding the $300,000 loan to the CRA from the City of Wayne. Take it away, Wes. It's on you.
So Amy drafted all of them, but I can go through it to begin with. So we've talked about this at a retreat, about $300,000 that the CRA received from the city, which they were the CDA at the time, so the city gave it to themselves. And then the CDA, City Council, decided to make it a CRA in 2014. So we talked about at the retreat that to credit the CRA with some payments they had made back to from the Western Ridge subdivision, some of the streets up there. And we had found that they'd made 3 payments in 14, 15, and 16 of $30,000, $30,000, and $50,000. So we get the $110,000 credit, if you will, for payments already made towards that loan. So the memorandum of understanding is stating that that credit would be used to pay down that $300,000, and then it would leave them with $190,000. The next two action items speak to how are they going to pay back that $190,000. Amy, what else? Anything else you want to? No?
I mean,
yeah. Any questions on what the MOU would be with the CRA? The CRA has looked at all these 3 as well and have actually approved them on their side. So they will sign whatever you pass, or if you pass these tonight, the CRA has already approved them.
I'll introduce resolution 2024-48 regard to the $300,000 loan to the CRA from the City of Wayne.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any more discussion?
One thing that I was going to say, I'm thankful the city has kind of cleaned this up a little bit, because I know there was some animosity between some of the people of Wayne, citizens of Wayne. They just didn't want things to just be forgiven. So thank you for drafting this to make sure that everyone is someone held accountable, and yep. So.
And I think that so the community understands kind of how the history of it too. Mm-hmm. It's like it wasn't just $300,000 the CRA begged from the city. It's like, no, they gave it to themselves, and then they switched ownership, if you will. So, yeah.
Any more questions? Roll call. And I'll vote yes. And the resolution has passed. Item number 9, action on the promissory note of $128,000 from the CRA to the City of Wayne.
Okay. So you may remember at the retreat where we discussed how the down payment assistance was used to pay $10,000 for any new citizen in Wayne that applied for it for new construction loans. Well, at that time, the CRA was never in writing, but it was supposed to be that it was paid back at 0.5% interest. But then when the CRA loaned out that $10,000 to these new home builders, it was at a 0% interest. So they were actually, the city wanted an incentive to be able to loan money to get more housing, but then the CRA was having to pay interest even though they weren't getting interest. And so the $128,000 that's on this promissory note is the amount of down payment assistance money that is currently outstanding. And so as it gets paid back, the promissory note basically states that as it gets paid back, the CRA will just give it directly to the city to pay back this loan. It is 0% interest because that is what they are getting. They're not getting any interest from the borrowers. The one thing that is different that is generally in notes is you usually have something that says if it doesn't get paid, then there's a default, you can somehow foreclose. This just states that if for some reason one of the borrowers does not pay back the CRA, then the CRA will come to you to renegotiate because they're going to have to go through the foreclosure process and all and that thing to try to collect that $10,000 to be able to pay you back. So this just basically states that as soon as it's paid back, they will pay that money to the city. The most recent one was just lent out. We closed on it a few weeks ago. And so that's why it's for 10 years, because that one then is not due for another 10 years. And then they're not going to do any more loans with that DPA.
Are they staggered pretty well, or is there like a concentration? Like most of these loans were given out 8 years ago.
You know, I know that there is one that is actually due now. That a letter just got sent out because they have not paid it back. As far as when the other ones are due, Beth, do you know?
Yeah, there's one in 25, there's three in 26, one in 27, two in 28, one in 29, one in 30, yep. Three in 31, and then the most recent one in 34.
So staggered.
Yeah, that's, yeah,
pretty
great.
Staggered.
Yep.
So other than this first letter, have any of the prior loans defaulted, or has everybody?
We did have one where the lady came in and asked to the CRA, asked that it be extended for an additional amount of time, and they denied that. They said, we don't let anybody else extend it. The purpose of the 10 years is because that gets you enough equity in your home that you can go get a loan for $10,000 and pay it back, you know? And so the agreement with the homeowners does say that if they default on it, then it starts accruing interest at the highest rate permitted by law, which right now is 16%. So after 30 days, I mean, it's only $10,000, so 16%, it's not like a mortgage with 16%, but yeah, so after 30 days when it's due, if they don't pay it, then it starts accruing interest at the rate of 16%. So there is an incentive, because the bank's rate isn't 16%, for them to go get a loan and pay it off. Mm-hmm.
I'll move to approve the action on the promissory note of $128,000 from the CRA to the City of Wayne.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any more questions? Discussion? Roll call? And I'll vote yes. And the action is approved. Item number 10, action on the promissory note of $62,000 from the City of Wayne, from the CRA to the City of Wayne.
Let me do this one too.
Sure.
Okay. So the other thing that was discussed at the retreat was giving credit for the real estate taxes that the CRA had paid. The CRA is now tax exempt, but since Western Ridge was built, they were paying real estate taxes on that. But Wes and Beth tried to go through and figure it out, and it was just pretty convoluted, isn't it?
Well, right. So some lots, so the rate was going to be different every year. You'd have to figure out what the city rate was versus the school, the NRD, and all that. It was like, instead of trying to go through that, and the CRA was okay with, you know, we've gotten some lot sales here and those types of things, we can pay back that amount. So we didn't go through any more to try to credit, which said you've got $62,000 left on your note. You need to find the money to pay it. So they're going to find it through, they've got some rental income coming in, they've got a tax ask now. They've got, they have three lot, well, they've got a few other lots for sale that they could use those proceeds to pay it off as well. So,
and now they are tax exempt, so they won't be having these real estate taxes,
right,
on those lots
because they're a taxing entity now.
Yep. And so this amount is for the 62. It's annual payments in the amount of $6,200 per year for 10 years. It is at 0% interest, but they will be paying all of this back.
We thought it was good to match it up with the others, so then after that 10 years, everything should be done.
The CRA feels comfortable with all of this.
Yep.
I've already approved it.
Yep, yep. I think they were...
I feel like it's fair.
Happy. So. Yes, they were complimentary of the council, saying this is a good deal for them. I mean, knowing that they would have preferred everything just to be forgiven, but they also realized, wait a minute, we've got lot sales, or we've got loans coming back in, that should go back into the program, and if we're going to discontinue the program, then it needs to come back to the city. So, and specifically the electric fund, correct, Beth?
Yep, that's where the line is, where the books.
I'll move to approve the action on the promissory note of $62,000 from the CRA to the city of Wayne.
Second.
Got a motion and a second, any more discussion? Roll call, and I'll vote yes. And the promissory note is approved. Item number 11 is action on application and certificate of payment number 10 in the amount of $208,562 to Audi Construction Company LLC for the Wayne City Hall and Police Relocation Project, Carlson West Pavandra Architects.
No one from Carlson West is here. Everything going well with it. We keep meeting every 4 weeks. This last time around, I'm thinking anything that we decided that we're going to start tearing out the alley, and I think actually you have started doing that, Joel, to get rock down. Just it makes sense to have a good base now and not try to do it while you've opened the alley and now you've got to shut it down if there's issues. And so we're taking that out. That's outside the contract, so we're doing that ourselves. One of the things that we...
You just poured the approach into the garage today.
Yep. So, I think staff would recommend approving the action.
We, like, see it?
Oh, you...
I couldn't go the last time you guys met, so...
If you ever have a time that you want to go up there, absolutely. Otherwise, I can let you know when the scheduled dates are every 4 weeks. I think the next one would be the 28th of September. And that's a Saturday. Oh, that's fine, right. Wednesday the 25th, maybe, of September at 11 o'clock is when we do them. But you can, anytime, if you say, hey, I want to go up and see it, Keith will let us in.
Saturday, 11 o'clock?
Whenever you want to.
Okay.
Just let me know.
I'll move to approve the action on application and certificate of payment number 10 in the amount of $208,562 to Audi Construction Company.
Second.
Any more discussion on this application? Roll call, and I'll vote yes, and the action is approved. Item number 12 is Resolution 2024-49, approving interlocal agreement with the Village of Carroll regarding dispatch 911 services.
Amy, I don't know if you had a chance to look at stuff, if anything was rewritten, or if you allow the council to make stuff on the fly.
Well, so my main question on here was, when are they wanting it to start?
Well, Marlon.
I think they normally run the fiscal year, so October 1 to September
30. So they want you to start providing services October 1?
No. What this is, we provided services for both these villages for since the late 90s. We have just discovered that it went stagnant, that it hasn't been looked at since 2008 was the last update. So instead of just doing a notice that we were increasing fees because of expense of what we do for them, we chose to redo the interlocal agreement that was done with each village. I will tell you that just prior to the meeting, I caught something else that I asked our finance director about. I think there's another section that either needs to be amended or come out completely. So I'll answer your questions for it, but I would ask that you probably table
both of them and we'll have
meeting.
It better prepared.
Pretty much what it does, I think the information is in there. We doubled the fees from 2008 when they were last increased, which $3,000 a year is not much for services we provide to these villages. We do their nightly pager tests. We do their storm warning notifications. We document all their ambulance and fire runs. We now have control over both villages' outdoor warning sirens that we set off from here. They no longer do it manually. So that's some of our responsibilities. I get it, they're both small villages and they're volunteer departments that we're doing this for, so I don't want to get too crazy with fees because they don't have it coming in. However, it is what it is. Everything increases. But I would ask you to consider maybe tabling both of these, this one and the next one, until I can get an answer for the section 7 that I asked about for the 911 surcharges, because that has changed also.
No, I was just going to say, my only not change, but just clarification would be in number three on the compensation. Instead of saying 2024, 2025, and then 2 years, and on the last one you have 2028, 2028, and then year four, 27, 2028. Just clarifying that from October 1st to September 30th, if we're going to do that fiscal year.
Make a motion to table resolution 2024-49.
Second. Motion and a second to table. Roll call. And I'll vote yes. So item number 13, resolution 2024-50, approving interlocal agreement with the village of Windside regarding dispatch 911 services.
Make a motion to table resolution 2024-50. Move for approval.
Second. Got a motion to table. Roll call, and I'll vote yes, and that resolution is now tabled. Item number 14, resolution 2024-51, amending interlocal agreement with the city of Laurel for water, wastewater services.
All right, so the situation with Laurel is their water person has passed their test, and so we no longer have water. We don't have to do anything with water. It's been changed to the state level. All is good on the water side. Sewer, last time somebody tried to take a test, they did not pass the wastewater test, so we are still the, I call it the responsible, that was your trail stuff, responsible charge, the person in charge, or the, I don't remember what Casey called it, but whoever's responsible for their sewer system. And so we still are that. I talked to their administrator and said, does 3 months do anything? And depends on, you know, the testing and all that kind of stuff. So I said, well, let's do it then for 6 months so we don't have to come back every 3 months. Do it for 6 months, but I would say after 6 months, they better have a really good reason or we're going to make it incredibly, it's going to be very lucrative to us. What this does is I suggested do a flat fee every month because we are still in charge of their sewer system. And so I said $250 a month. Isn't much, but it's something. And then still get mileage going to there with that, again, or an hourly rate going from $75 an hour to $90 an hour. So that puts our overtime rate at $180 an hour. Again, I don't want to make them want to use us. So that was my proposal. And their administrator said, we'll talk about it. I don't really care what you talk about. They have to approve it or they don't use our services. So I still think it's fairly reasonable. They're still getting off really well on the wastewater side.
So with the test, like they fail it, do they have to wait so long before they can take it again?
I don't think so. And they've got a couple people that could be doing it. Right now, I think they're just having one person do it, and we're not going to tell them how to operate. We'd suggest they probably have both of them trying, but that's for them to decide. And again, like I said, after 6 months, and I'll convey that to them, it's going to have to be a very compelling argument for us to continue doing it. Because we've been pretty good to them.
The additional workload isn't hard on Casey.
I asked that to Casey because actually Seth does more of it than he does because he does the DMRs, the, I don't know what it stands for, but the tests of the wastewater. So he's doing all that paperwork, okay. Seth is. But still has to go up and get the tests once, mm-hmm. take them once a month. So. Any questions on that? But no, I asked Casey that specifically. He's on vacation today.
Oh,
and I said, you don't need to come to the meeting. And I said, concerned that you're being mm-hmm. overworked doing that. He goes, no, and actually it's Seth. So.
I'll introduce resolution 2024-51. Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
Do we need to have the dollar amounts on there?
No.
Part of it, yeah.
Roll call, and I'll vote yes. And the resolution has passed. Still loud enough?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
We are adjourned. Nailed it. Good job, Joe.